and welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist Mickey Folk. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And joining us from Mercenary Musings World Headquarters in Albuquerque, New Mexico, is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Folt. Mickey, how have you been?
I've been well, Rob. And you?
Yeah, well, your baseball team's been doing great climbing up the ladder. You guys are now looking at the playoffs, I guess.
Yeah, we certainly are. If the season was to end today, we would be in the playoffs. So a far cry from, I think, the last time we talked.
Yeah.
When the team was basically a 500 team and had fired their manager. So.
Yeah, well, there's been no change up here, as you know, Mickey, because you follow those baseball standings quite closely. You know how the Blue Jays are doing, and we're not going anywhere this year.
Well, I haven't really looked at the Blue Jays. I just see the way the Yankees and the Red Sox are doing, and no, you don't have a prayer.
Yeah, we don't have a prayer. There'll be no baseball, postseason baseball up here this year. Great long, hot summer, though, in southern Ontario. Mickey, no complaints. There may be some complaining, though, among gold bugs, and we are talking about bullion today. The price of gold down about 9% so far this year. 2018 has not really played out as some people might have anticipated, has it?
No, it certainly hasn't played out the way I anticipated. I thought we were on the verge of a real bull market in commodities, and that's been far from the truth. But if you look at it, gold bottomed last week, and it's really been negatively correlated with the U.S. dollar, and the U.S. dollar has been quite strong. If we look at the numbers, let's say from this year's high for gold, which was $1,349, and that occurred on April 18th. At the same time, DXY bottomed a couple of days before that at 89 and change, 89.4, in fact. Mm-hmm. And since then, we've still had this very strong correlation of the dollar and gold, but the dollar's gone up during that period of time significantly, went from 89.4, and it actually hit 96.7 last week when gold bottomed. That's an 8% gain. Meanwhile, during that time, gold's lost 8.2%. Yeah. So, near a perfect correlation, negative correlation of DXY and gold.
Yeah, and there's really nothing on the horizon, is there, to indicate that the greenback will weaken anytime soon? I know that your president, Donald Trump, has tried to talk the dollar lower by taking a few jabs at the head of the U.S. Federal Reserve, indicating that he doesn't want interest rates to head higher. But one would assume that the head of the Fed will remain independent of what the president wants and continue to make decisions as he sees fit. So, but there's really no indication that the dollar is going to weaken, is there?
Well, I think maybe come at this a little differently. And I think the dollar is strong because all other world currencies are so weak. I mean, there's nothing out there. And so because of that, there's a number of factors. The stock market, all-time record long bull market now. These very weak fiat currencies, especially the euro. So people have gone to the dollar as a safe haven versus gold, in my opinion. Right. Regarding DXY, it certainly got overbought last week, and we've seen it come off significantly. It was down to 95.1 today, so that's a 1.6% loss in a week. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, gold finished today at 1195, so off its low last week of 1174. Of course, I popped down to the bullion exchange and bought an ounce or two during that period of time.
Oh,
gold was on sale.
Yeah, you're a guy who moves in there when you see bullion decline a little bit. You're taking advantage of that weakness because you believe that longer term this is a good investment.
Well, I don't think it's an investment or a speculation. It's a safe haven for me. It's an insurance policy. An investment implies that you think you're going to make a steady return on it. And I don't think that's what gold's all about. But that said, there's a lot of things that have been working against gold. The seasonality, this is the summer doldrums. We always expect gold to hit a seasonal or even a year low during this period of time. It certainly looks like it's hit the year low now. Relative strength of the U.S. dollar, I think that's going to change somewhat. You watch what Trump does, and when he says the dollar's too strong, it goes down over the next 2 or 3 months. And when he said the dollar, we like a strong dollar, he said that back in March or April, and the dollar went up over the last 4 or 5 months. So we've got that. We've got real interest rates rising. He's trying to talk down the Fed. We'll see how successful he is in that regard. But realize that, you know, interest rates, what, approaching 10-year Treasury keeps flirting with 3%. But real interest rates are still negative throughout the world, less so in the U.S. And And they've been rising, so that's not good for gold. But look at this $21 trillion debt, and as you increase the interest rate, it seriously affects your ability to pay off your debt. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a cap on this interest rate rise.
Okay, now you mentioned gold today as we sit, as we speak, Mickey, sitting at about $1,195 an ounce. That's $5 below what a lot of people call the, quote, psychologically important level of $1,200 per ounce. Do you consider $1,200 a magical level at all for gold, or is it just a nice round number?
Well, it's just a nice round number, and if it goes on a bit of a run, and we always expect it to behave in a more positive manner after Labor Day, they'll say that 1,300 is some sort of magical number. And when gold was pushing 1,350 back in April, the gold bulls were saying if we can only get to 1,400. In fact, I probably said that because it was it's a psychological number, these even numbers that make people feel better, feel positively about the way that gold's going. The way I look at it from kind of a technical view, or the people that I respect on the technical end, technical analysis end, they're talking about 1212 as resistance. And until we broke through, 1212 was the low in 2017. And for a while, it was the low in 2018 till it broke down last week.
Okay, I want to read you a quote from an article that I read on the Kitco site a few days ago, Mickey. It's a sucker's bet right now to try to call a bottom in this market right now. The bears are in complete control. And that comes from the head of commodity strategy at Saxo Bank in Denmark. He is referring to gold. Do you believe that it's a sucker's bet to try to call a bottom right now and that the bears are in complete control of bullion?
No, I think probably he's talking his own book, and they have massive shorts at that particular bank. You know, we had near record net shorts in the gold market even at the beginning of this week. And generally when the traders and the speculators get on one side, massively on one side or the other, it's just a matter of time before it breaks down and it bounces. So there's a bunch of shorts, I think, out there that are trying to get out of their positions right now because the tide will turn on gold. And and maybe the catalyst is after Labor Day when people come back to work. So when I see these big banks, and Goldman Sachs is the worst, when Goldman Sachs comes out negative or positive on any commodity, all I know is they have massive net long positions or net short positions, and they're trying to talk their own book.
Okay, here's an angle that I wanted to bring into the discussion, and we'll get your comment on that. Has gold perhaps fallen out of favor among younger investors who may view bullion as being old-fashioned, and they prefer things like Bitcoin as an alternative currency that they should invest in versus gold? Does that have any impact, you think, on the market at all?
Well, it may have some impact, but that's a fool's position in my estimation. These kleptocurrencies, as my good friend Kerry Lutz calls them, are exactly that. These are speculative financial instruments with no substance behind them. And look at Bitcoin. I have no idea what it's done this week, but last week it was around $6,500. That's a 61.8% retrenchment, or more than that, from its high of 19,000, whatever it was, 634 or something like that, way back in December. So those things are not financial instruments. Anything that requires an internet connection to be fungible, in my opinion, is not even a currency. It certainly isn't money, and I would argue it's not even a currency because it's not fungible. If we get an electromagnetic storm and knocks out the internet for a while or a significant amount of time. Yeah. And I don't know for sure, but I know people have been trying to get off on their Bitcoins, and it's completely illiquid. They can't sell them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't understand that whole thing anyway, but you know what? It's quite interesting, Mickey. You mentioned when Bitcoin was going crazy through the roof, the price of Bitcoin, there was blaring headlines in the media all over the place. You don't hear a lot about Bitcoin right now, do you?
Well, it was kind of the flavor of last year, in my opinion. You know, it went exponential. And, of course, every market I've ever seen that goes exponential will go parabolic. Now, it's still got a long ways to go from its first run-up of falling. But, it's just something that I have chosen not to speculate in. If I'd gotten in early, I would have been long out of Bitcoin now. It certainly has some value as a method of exchange between two consenting parties. By the same token, it's worse, I think, than any fiat currency because of the wild volatility. You know, we do a monthly radio show, Kerry Lutz and I, and we just laugh every month. Bitcoin's gone up 60% this month and minus 40% the next month. And, I'll guarantee you anybody that takes it as a method of exchange immediately goes in and converts that to U.S. dollars because...
I'll take a little bit issue with that last comment, Mickey. I would place the Venezuelan currency a little bit behind Bitcoin. What are they looking at? They're looking at, what, like 1,000,000% inflation? I mean, if you went down to Venezuela and ordered a beer and you looked at the price tag on the menu, by the time the beer came back to the table, that price would have increased.
It's just crazy down there.
It
shows you that socialism is a failed economic system. They've tried to launch this cryptocurrency called the Petro, I think they call it, as an alternative means to not trade their oil in U.S. dollars, and that will fail. I mean, I can't imagine how bad it is down there. You know, I worked down in Venezuela about 11 years ago or so. I was able to get some really nice gold nuggets down there, but what a screwed up country it was. At the time, it was cheaper to buy a gallon of gasoline or a liter of gasoline than a liter of water. Now, that's a completely topsy-turvy economy because they subsidize the gasoline industry. So, just doesn't work.
Okay, well, let's wrap it up and bring it back to bullion. Mickey, you know, there's been a big disconnect, though, hasn't there, between the price movement we've seen in the physical commodity and the price movement we've seen in shares of gold miners. The gold mining stocks in the TSX, for example, TSX Gold Index, year-to-date down 18%. Over the past year, down a whopping 38%. Far sharper declines than we've seen in the price of gold. Why the big gap there?
Well, number one, you cannot conflate owning physical gold in your physical possession with a speculation in a gold stock. Gold stocks always tend to be more volatile than bullion does, either on the upside or downside. Sometimes the gold stocks front run trends in the price of gold, and sometimes the exact opposite happens. So it does not surprise me. I own Gold Explorers. I own Junior Gold Explorers. I stay away from anything listed on the GDX or the GDXJ because I don't want to own mining companies. They're generally not profitable.
The gold producers can do okay, though, can't they, at $1,200 an ounce?
Look at the books. Small dividends. For those that are interested, I wrote a piece that came out to subscribers on Friday. It is now available to all on my website, and the title of it is Why I Don't Want to Own Mining Companies.
Great way to wrap it up. Good conversation, Mickey. Thanks very much for this. We'll reconnect in about a month's time.
All right. Thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.